Welcome to the Soulful Insights podcast, where we break free from trauma, religious conditioning, and limiting beliefs to reclaim your power and step into full spiritual sovereignty. I'm your host, Tandy, and I help women just like you transform their lives through deep healing, breathwork, hypnotherapy, and subconscious reprogramming. Today, we're diving into a very transformative and also misunderstood aspect of personal growth. Vulnerability. What if the deepest love, the most fulfilling relationships, and the greatest personal freedom were only accessible through the courage to truly be seen? For many of us, vulnerability has been framed as weakness, when in reality, it is the key to deep connection, emotional freedom, and living in full alignment with your truth. In this episode, we're going to explore what true vulnerability is, and how it leads to authentic, fulfilling relationships. How to build a strong inner circle where you feel safe to be fully seen and supported. The power of setting boundaries with those who do not honor your worth. Why vulnerability in love creates transcendent, soul-aligned connection. And how to balance public authenticity with private sacred trust. And I think this is a part where a lot of people get confused. Many people believe that you just have to be fully vulnerable to strangers or in public, and that's not necessarily the case. There is something to be said with sharing vulnerability with those that you trust and how to show up in your life authentically, even in a public forum. So we're going to talk about how to create that balance. If you're ready to embrace your true self, call in deeper connections, and step into relationships that honor and uplift you, this episode is for you. So let's begin. True vulnerability is not about weakness. It's about being authentic to yourself in all situations and creating relationships that allow you to be fully seen, honored, and loved. Now, notice I said creating relationships that allow that for you, because you do have to know how to select those relationships and attract those relationships. What if the very thing you've been afraid of, letting people see the real you, is the key to unlocking everything your soul craves? Understanding true vulnerability is not about oversharing. It's about being authentic and honoring yourself in all situations. It's about cultivating relationships that make vulnerability feel safe, empowering, and transformative. With vulnerability comes the importance of setting boundaries with those who do not respect you. So it isn't just about being vulnerable all the time and sharing every intimate detail of your life with anyone. With being vulnerable and authentic comes setting boundaries. We're going to discuss why emotional intimacy in friendships and romantic relationships depends upon vulnerability. And you can also learn to practice public authenticity while keeping deep vulnerability reserved for those who have earned the right to have that part of you. So public authenticity is showing up completely authentic to yourself, not putting on facades or anything like that, but and not taking on anybody else's opinions about you, but also keeping those parts of you that need to be reserved for a sacred trust, keeping those reserved. So let's first look at redefining vulnerability. This is really the power of authenticity, the power of being authentic. It's the ultimate expression of strength, because when you can be authentic to yourself and not care what anyone else thinks of it, that is true power. Many of us have been conditioned to believe that showing emotion, admitting fears, or being open about our struggles is a sign of weakness. In reality, vulnerability is about standing in your truth without fear of judgment. It is the willingness to be authentic, even when it's uncomfortable. Being able to allow others to see your struggles, to see your fears, to see your emotion is actually strength. Why? Because people who don't do that are afraid of the emotion. They are afraid of the judgment. That isn't strength. That's weakness. If I run and hide, am I strong or am I weak? If I'm feeling emotions or I'm feeling fear or I'm having struggles, and a lot of men think they're so strong and they're so powerful because they don't have emotions, which of course they do. But the weakness is they're afraid of emotions and they try to run and hide under a rock when someone else has an emotion and when they have an emotion. And it ends up in them exploding at people that they care about and not being able to be truly seen. It's weakness, not strength. The strong one is the one that can stand in the face of emotion, fears, and struggles and admit them and allow other people to see them and share them and not be afraid of it. So what does true vulnerability look like? Being honest with yourself about your needs, your desires, and your emotions. You don't hide from them. You don't hide from emotions. You know who you are inside, what you need, what lights you up. And with knowing you, the next step of vulnerability is expressing that truth in relationships, even when it feels scary. Now, when I say this, this needs to be in relationships where you have fostered a healthy selection of relationships, not toxic people, because you're never going to feel safe if you have people that refuse to see you, people who are afraid of emotions, people who are emotionally immature. If you're in relationships with people like that, vulnerability is never going to work. So I want you to understand that the first step is learning how to cultivate those kinds of relationships, which means I weed out the people that are not it. You know, if you can't take accountability for your own mistakes, you're out. If you can't be aware of your own emotions and then you explode at other people, out. Do you see what I'm saying? Weeding out these toxic people so you have that safety. Then you can refuse to wear a mask or play a role to gain approval from others, which is the last step. Expressing your truth in relationships and refusing to wear a mask. So I want to touch a little bit on vulnerability versus oversharing. This is not the same thing. You don't need to share all your life stories with strangers or with people who truly are not safe. And this could even be a current partner that you have, where you may not be safe to be fully seen because they do not honor and value you, and you have not been in a place in your life where you could cultivate that type of relationship. Which means this would not be the time for you to be vulnerable, okay? One of the key components of this is understanding where you have a safe place. And if you have not cultivated friendships or other relationships where there is this safety, it's time to learn to do that. Vulnerability is about being real with the right people. That is a key. Not just anyone. Not even your spouse or your best friend. If they are not safe people, you may need to think very long and hard about if you need a change in those relationships, if you are not safe to be vulnerable. Oversharing is giving away the sacred parts of yourself to those who haven't earned your trust. Let me say that again. Oversharing is giving away sacred parts of yourself to those who have not earned your trust. That isn't vulnerability. And a lot of people think, oh, it's my mom, or it's, you know, my husband or my best friend or whatever that I'm sharing this with. Well, my mom's a narcissist. There's a lot of parts of me I don't share with my mom. There's a lot of things that I enjoy that I don't share with her. My husband and I, it is our 28th wedding anniversary next week. We're going on an amazing anniversary vacation, and much of which I cannot share with my mother for various reasons. And it's because I understand she has not earned the trust for me to be able to share with her. She's my mom, yeah. Does that mean that she's safe? Now, obviously, family members are not someone that you can necessarily pick and choose. You're born into the family, you get that dynamic, but you can also learn these people are not safe, and therefore I guard these sacred parts of myself because these people never earned my trust. You may be in a romantic relationship right now, and initially it may have been exciting and fun and great, and down the line you may have found this person is unable to handle the sacred parts of you, maybe unable to handle your emotions or your struggles or your pain. This person has not earned your trust. There needs to be a lot of evaluation on these relationships, because ultimately your happiness and your joy in life is going to depend on you having a circle of people that you can be vulnerable with, that can hold you, see you, where you can come home sobbing in a mess and they can hold you. They don't try to fix it. They don't try to deny it. They don't try to push toxic positivity on you. They just can be with you. Those are the people that you can offer vulnerability to. So next I want to, as we've kind of talked about these relationships building, I want to go into building relationships where vulnerability can feel safe. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that say, you know what, I'm in a relationship right now with someone who yells or hides from emotion, can't handle it, has toxic positivity, narcissistic tendencies, I don't know. But many of you may be in relationships. Maybe it is with friends. Maybe it is a partner. Maybe it is family where you don't feel safe to be vulnerable. And really, your ability to be vulnerable depends on the company you keep. A family, you're just going to have to set boundaries there. And you're the only one that knows what those boundaries need to be. But you need to be honest with yourself about what they need to be. Not people-pleasing. If you don't feel safe being yourself around certain people, it's not because you're too much. It's because you're in the wrong environment with the wrong people. If you don't feel safe being yourself around your partner, your spouse, it's not because you're the problem. You're in the wrong relationship. And sometimes that can be hard to face, but I want you to realize when you are in the right relationship with the right person, it is beautiful. You can share anything, your deepest secrets, your pain, your heartache, past abuses, anything, and that person can love you through it, can listen to it. Healthy relationships provide space for honesty, emotional intimacy, and mutual respect. And you absolutely can have that. But if you keep settling, or you keep saying, well, I've been in this relationship for X amount of years, or, you know, whatever. Every time you make excuses to stay where you are, you stay where you are. If you want to find that space where it's honest, it's respectful, there's intimacy. If it isn't there yet, changes have to be made. And sometimes the other person, whether it's a friend, family, or intimate relationship, sometimes that other person isn't willing to change and move and grow. And so when you grow and you move and they don't, you outgrow them. And that's what we want. Because if you're outgrowing a relationship, it means you are moving up and the next relationship is going to be better. So, I want to give you some signs of a relationship that supports vulnerability. Number one, you feel safe to express your emotions without fear or judgment. Number two, you don't feel like you have to hide or filter parts of yourself. They don't find parts of you annoying or irritating or too much. It's just they accept and love all of you. If they are talking bad about you, laugh too loud or you do something this way or that way, if you have to talk quieter, I've had people tell me that. You know what? Talking loud when I'm passionate about something is just part of me. And that's part of the package you're going to get. And if you don't like it, you're not for me. I have family members that don't particularly like that. And that's okay. But they're not the people that I'm going to, you know, have close relationships with either. Number three, conflict in a healthy relationship is handled with understanding and communication, not manipulation, defensiveness, or avoidance. And number four, the relationship is based on trust, mutual respect, and emotional safety. Emotional safety meaning that person is not going to have emotional outbursts towards you. They're not going to get angry and say angry things at you. You feel safe to share and you feel safe around their emotions. Mutual respect means they respect you on every level. You're not the only one doing the housework. You're not the only one putting something into the relationship. And you can trust that person. So, finding and cultivating these relationships. If you don't have this in your life with friends or family or in romantic partners, it's time to learn how to do that. And really, some friendships need to fall by the wayside. And that's okay. And we really need to realize that some people were only meant to be in our lives for a time. And that's okay. Sometimes even romantic partners are only meant to be in your life for a time. They're not your soulmate. So when you are making a change and making a shift in your life, you're looking at friendships and romantic relationships where you feel seen, heard, and valued. They can give up hanging out with their friends to be with you if you're sick or be with you if you're struggling because you come first, especially for a romantic partner. But friends also being willing to prioritize you when you're in need. Be willing to release relationships that drain you, invalidate your emotions, or make you feel unsafe. Recognize that not everyone deserves access to your vulnerability. Only those who have proven themselves worthy of your trust. And you will notice, you will start to notice toxic patterns and toxic patterns that you've become comfortable with because they're familiar and the unknown can be scary. And so we allow these patterns to continue in our lives because they're familiar. But it's time to break those old patterns and truly start to cultivate relationships where you can be seen, heard, and feel safe. So let's talk about setting boundaries with those who do not respect you. Boundaries are very much an act of self-love, and they are crucial for your health and well-being. If someone repeatedly disrespects your feelings, dismisses your emotions, or makes you feel unsafe, you owe it to yourself to set boundaries. Healthy boundaries are not about controlling other people. They are about protecting your own peace, energy, and emotional well-being. So I've had a few people that I've known that did not understand what a boundary was. For example, you know, if someone does something that you don't like, and then you say they crossed a boundary, there's not really a boundary if they didn't know. So a boundary is something where you don't say you're not allowed to do that anymore or something like that. Boundaries are where you say, if you continue to speak to me this way, I will, and then you say what you're going to do. So you are not, you don't control their behavior. They can yell, they can do whatever they're going to do. But if they do, you're going to do whatever. You are going to stop, coming to this family party, or, you know, you're not going to talk to them on the phone, or you're not, whatever it is that you're going to do. And it has to be spoken, something that they are aware of. That's what it is. And I want to talk a little bit about how you set boundaries with family and friends who do not respect you. And in a lot of ways, a lot of these relationships kind of end up dying out anyway. because it's just not a healthy dynamic to have if it's they're just constantly toxic no matter what. It's just not a healthy thing. So number one, you need to clearly state your limits. Example, I'm not comfortable discussing this topic with you. If you continue to talk about it, I'm going to leave. That would be a very clear limit. It's like you're saying, I'm not okay with this, I will leave. It's not saying that they can't talk about the thing. It's just, if you do, I'm going to leave. Okay, you need to be very clear. Number two, follow through. This is really big because a lot of people will say this, but then they give in, especially people pleasers. If someone continues to disrespect you, be willing to distance yourself from anyone. It doesn't matter. Family, I don't care who it is. It's just not okay. Number three, prioritize self-respect over obligation. This one is huge with people pleasers. There are a lot of people that feel obligated to have relationships with family members or even feel obligations to romantic partners, spouses, because of the amount of time they've been together or whatever. But just because someone is family doesn't mean they are entitled to a relationship with you if they refuse to respect you. And that goes for a romantic partner as well. So, self-love and releasing unhealthy relationships. This one can be very difficult for a lot of people. If someone consistently belittles you, disrespects you, or disregards your feelings, you must be willing to let them go. Walking away from toxic relationships is not abandonment, it's self-preservation. There are far too many women who remain in toxic or abusive relationships. There's generally a part of their partner that they do love when he's kind or fun or has a good sense of humor. But on the other hand, they have to endure criticism, ridicule, belittling, infidelity, disrespect, and sometimes physical abuse in order to have the few good parts that there are. But I want to be straight up honest with you. You do not actually love this person. Your brain craves love and acceptance. And because they give it intermittently, you're willing to sacrifice your own self-respect for the crumbs you're getting because you think that's all there is. You live for every moment when he or she is kind. You live for every moment that you get some semblance of the side that you like about them. And you think that's all there is. The truth is, this isn't love. It's not. And if you're in a relationship like this, the first thing that needs to be worked on is embracing your own worth so that you can see that you deserve so much more than this. Because if you don't work on yourself first, you'll fall into the same pattern that you've always fallen into. You have to work on yourself, knowing that you deserve better than this. If you're in a toxic relationship, vulnerability is not the answer here. The key is working on yourself, learning to love you, and releasing yourself from a partner who doesn't respect you so that you can find a partner with whom you can have deep emotional intimacy and vulnerability and safety. You can have that, and you have to learn to believe that that's true. And sometimes we need a little bit of help along the way. And that's where subconscious reprogramming, hypnotherapy, and other support is needed. And that's why I do what I do. That's why I talk about what I talk about, because this is something that I want to offer to women, is to help them rise. Rise from the ashes of wherever they've been to embody the truth of who they are and to find joy and happiness in their lives. And that's why I do what I do. Vulnerability as the key to deep connection. So when you find this relationship where you can have safety, if you want to have true intimacy in a friendship or a romantic relationship, It requires vulnerability. Now, obviously, the intimacy is different in a friendship versus a romantic relationship. But regardless, there is a level of that person knowing you, not just the public you, but the private you. Vulnerability requires love, mutual respect, cooperation, communication, safety, integrity, true friendship. And I want to make it very clear that true friendship needs to be a foundation of a romantic relationship as well. You need to be best friends. If you're not best friends, it's not going to work very well. Someone who desires to know you deeply and to honor every part of you. You cannot form a deep, meaningful connection if you are not fully seen. And if that person cannot value that and hold you like a delicate flower so that you can be seen and honored and respected, it's not the right relationship for you. Many people crave connection but fear vulnerability, and this creates shallow or unfulfilling relationships. So the energy of a transcendent romantic partnership is when two people feel safe, respected, and truly seen. Their relationship becomes something beyond this world. Vulnerability in love leads to deep emotional intimacy, trust, and passion. Without vulnerability, relationships feel surface level, distant, or disconnected, and intimacy becomes more about each person trying to pleasure themselves rather than out of deep connection and love and passion. It's very different. It's more of a transactional situation, which is mostly what our society thinks intimacy is supposed to be, and it is not. So in creating space for vulnerability in love, you have to communicate honestly and openly with your partner, and you also have to be able to do that. Both of you have to be able to handle open, honest communication. Number two, you have to be able to allow yourself to be fully seen without masks or pretense. And choose a partner who is willing to be open and vulnerable with you as well. And I know that this can be difficult because a lot of us are in relationships or whatever. We're in this space where we have our friends, we have our relationships. If you're not in a romantic relationship and you want to be at some point, these points can be really helpful. If you are already in a romantic relationship and it is not what you want it to be, there's always the ability to try to make change and deepen things. And then there's also the situation where we realize this is probably not the soulmate relationship. And it's always up to you to navigate how you want to move forward in these situations. And I really want to touch on public vulnerability versus private vulnerability, because this is also really important, and it's something that social media has really blurred the lines. Being authentic and public does not mean you owe the world your deepest struggles. It does not mean you owe the world your deepest stories and pain and suffering and all of that. Public vulnerability just means authenticity. Being your true self and not letting external opinions define you. That's what public vulnerability means. So any part of you that you don't want to share with the world or in public is completely fine. It does not need to be. There's no level of emotional intimacy that needs to be there. It's just about showing up authentically and not letting anyone else define who you are or their opinions affect you. Private vulnerability, however, is a sacred trust. It's only sharing your innermost emotions with those who have proven themselves to be safe and trustworthy for you. That is the difference. And only you can decide what is shared publicly and what is shared privately, but I would challenge you to be very intentional about what you're sharing publicly and what you are sharing with people that really aren't the safest people in your life. So how to stay authentic without overexposing yourself? This is another issue that social media has created. Be real and genuine, but set personal boundaries on what you share with those who are not in your inner circle. And you need to intentionally decide, what am I going to share with people that are not in this inner circle? Living intentionally is very, very, very important. And always trust your intuition. If something feels too sacred to share, keep it private. And that includes with anyone. You are not obligated to share anything with anyone. I don't care if it's mom. I don't care if it's a romantic partner. I don't care who it is. If you don't feel safe or it feels too sacred to you to share to that person, keep it private. Also, protect your energy by being selective with whom you allow into your inner world. A lot of times early on in relationships, people are masking, they are on their best behavior, and it's really easy to just start opening up and sharing things with them. But there are times when those people will turn around and use those things against you. It is unfortunate, but there are people like that in the world. So it's very important for you to protect your energy and be very selective with whom you're sharing your life story with. Not everyone is meant to be a close friend. Not every relationship is meant to endure throughout your life, whether that's family, friends, or a romantic partner. There are some family members that will fall slowly out of your life that you will lose contact with. That's okay. Some people were meant to be with us for a season. Others are meant to be with us for life. Learn to discern the difference between the two. Allow the ebb and flow of life to go through its natural cycles in your relationships. This does not mean being flippant, nor is this an excuse for avoidant attachment style individuals who just are afraid of being vulnerable or afraid of attachment, and so they run away from any type of emotional intimacy. That's not what I'm talking about. If that's you, you need to work on that because that is going to prevent you from finding fulfilling friendships or anything in your life if you struggle with attaching to people. This is just about being aware of those with whom you have a soul connection and those that you do not. There's a difference between people that come into your life for a season and those you have a soul connection with. You may not even have a deep soul connection with some of your family members, and that's perfectly normal. I know I don't. With some of mine, it's just not there, and that's okay. You may have a romantic partner that you don't have a soul connection with. But you may have had experiences that have expanded you so that you could be who you need to be in order to truly embrace your soulmate. Do the work necessary to allow yourself to grow and expand into your highest authentic self. The embodiment of this is where you will find yourself surrounded by the most joyful, soul-aligned relationships. I want to state again, vulnerability is not weakness. It is strength and authenticity. The right relationships make vulnerability feel safe, empowering, and transformative. Set boundaries with those who do not respect you. Remember that you, and only you, decide who has access to you, your life, and your time. There are many unhealed people in the world who simply go through the motions of life, miserable, unhappy, and unfortunately, spew their trauma and misery on everyone around them, and you don't have to take it. It isn't about judging them. It isn't about anger towards them. It really is about understanding the choices they are making in their life and how it is affecting you, and choosing not to allow them to have access to you. Emotional intimacy and transcendent love require vulnerability. Ensure that your romantic partner is able to honor you. And I mean that. I mean the word honor. I'm not just using that flippantly. This person lives in complete integrity and can offer vulnerability and safety for you. Do not settle for anything less than a joyful relationship that honors your dignity and allows you to feel fully seen, fully safe, and live in your authenticity. Be authentic in public, but protect your deepest truths for those who have earned your trust. So I want to ask you to do a couple things at the end of this episode here. I want you to reflect on this question. Where in my life am I holding back from vulnerability, and why? Then I want you to choose one relationship where you can practice more openness this week. Now, I want this to be a relationship where you already feel safe. This person has proven trustworthy and safe for you. And practice more openness. See how it feels. Follow Soulful Insights for more deep dives into spiritual empowerment, self-liberation, and authentic connection. That's your last challenge. And I just want to offer you one final thought. Vulnerability is not about being exposed. It's about being seen. The moment you stop hiding, you open the door to the love, connection, and life you were always meant to live.